You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Even though the Oakland A's did not qualify for the 2017 postseason, plenty of exciting moments for the A's during the 2017 regular season. And joining us on this Friday, the 13th, is Jane Lee, our A's reporter for MLB.com. Jane, we thank you for the time as always. And Jane, what we're going to do today is just look back on the A's season that was in 2017 and kind of break down the top 10 moments, whether it was an actual play or a game or something kind of weird and quirky. We're just going to look back and see what stood out to you. And looking at the top 10 list that you submitted to us, I think half the list or close to it is walk-off wins. The A's had three of those in a row against the Tigers back in early May. We also had Rajay Davis giving Bob Melvin his 1,000th win with, you guessed it, a walk-off home run. So a lot to pick and choose from here. Matt Olson going deep in five straight games. When you look back at the entire ball of wax, what kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think those walk-offs definitely. This was a team that was really, really good at home and just terrible on the road. And unfortunately, their play on the road really cost them. I mean, the splits were just so drastic. But, I mean, for them to play well in front of the home crowd and give fans so many walk-offs. I know Bob Melvin's, always saying, how important it is to play in front of your own fans. And so I think it was really cool, going back to that Rajay home run to give Melvin his 1,000th victory. I think it was pretty fitting just because we've seen so many of those under Melvin's tenure here. And of course, those 1,000 wins not only span his tenure as a manager with the A's, but, going back to his days with the Mariners and Diamondbacks. And I think also, you look at the walk-offs, a lot of them came on home runs, and home runs were their other specialty. The offense definitely struggled to do some other things, but hitting the home run was not a problem for them. And I think that day in Chicago where we saw three rookies collect their first career home run, Matt Olson, Franklin Barreto, and Jacob Brugman. I think that was a really special day for them. A lot of it is because these are guys that came up together. They came up together, they won together at essentially every level, and to share something like that on the same day was pretty cool. And I mean, it's funny now to think back on Matt Olson, hitting his first home run, because after that, he, it seemed like he hit 100. And then, of course, in September, I think one of the top moments, if not the top moment, was him homering in five straight games. Just really incredible that last month he had before ending the season with an injury. So I would definitely say, the home runs and a lot of them culminating in walk-off victories were probably gave A's fans some of the better moments of what was an up-and-down season.
Yeah, if I recall, the A's had more walk-off wins than anybody in the majors except Baltimore. So they made a specialty of that. They had, I believe, 11 walk-off wins, but perhaps a dozen. But like I said, only the Orioles had more than the A's in 2017 in the walk-off victory department. And, Jane, you brought up that cool game on June 24th with the three rookies each homering for the first time in their careers in that same game. Was there an awareness of what was going on with, all three guys getting their first career long balls in that same game? And if so, what was the reaction by the three of them after the game? Because as you said, they certainly weren't strangers to one another. They came up through the A system and they all get this milestone on the same day. That had to have been very special for all three.
Yeah, it was. And I think they were aware of it. I think they know each other so well. And they're rooting for each other so hard that I think they were definitely aware in the dugout that day. I think after the second one, it was like, well, why not? Let's all three of us do this. And afterwards, I think each of them didn't even want to talk about themselves. They wanted to talk about each other. And I think that really just kind of showed how close not only those three guys are, but this young core that's coming up together. And I think that really played a part in their second half success, just because this is a group that's used to winning. And so they expect to win. They expect to accomplish a lot together. And so I think, you know, just that day with those three home runs was just a tiny snippet, you know, showing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, Matt Olson certainly distinguished himself as the season wore on. On September 19th, he put his name in the franchise record books, and you think to all the sluggers the A's have had over the years, and none of them did what Matt Olson did, homering in five straight games. You know, I kind of compare him to what Rhys Hoskins did with the Phillies. Now, Hoskins, you know, one of their top prospects, you know, he comes up and just absolutely mashes from day one, hit more home runs in his first 18 career games than anyone in history. Matt Olson didn't get to quite those levels. Of course, heck, nobody has except for Hoskins. But what was Olson's, you know, pedigree in the minors? Was he as highly touted as a guy like Rhys Hoskins, or did he kind of surprise people with his power display as the season wore on?
No, he was definitely one of their top prospects for a long time. I mean, so long that, you know, he was at the top of that list, and then just kind of maybe fell out of favor in a way, just because he didn't come up as quickly as fans expected. And I think a lot of people forgot just how young he was. I mean, he's still just 23 years old, but I think people expected him to be in the big leagues a lot quicker than he was. And he was figuring things out in the minors. And I think during that time, you know, of course, Franklin Barreto came over and then Josh Donaldson trade. And then he was suddenly, you know, just catapulted to that number one top prospect spot. And Matt Olson was moved from first base to the outfield. And people really started wondering, you know, what the future was going to hold for him. I mean, did the A's even have a spot for him anymore? You know, they started the season with Yonder Alonso at first base. And Matt Olson, the first half of the season, was going back and forth so many times between the AAA and the majors. But, you know, really never got down on himself, always knew that, you know, his time would come. And I think the A's recognized, you know, as they did throughout the course of the season, that they needed to give these young guys an opportunity if they were really going to stick to this plan to rebuild with this young core. And so they traded Alonso to Seattle, and Matt Olson came up and, I mean, stuck at first base, which is his natural position, the rest of the way. I mean, we never saw him again in the outfield because, I mean, he did so well. He's so good defensively, too. You know, I know everyone was talking about what he was doing at the plate, but defensively, he's tremendous. And the A's really do see him as the first baseman, you know, not just of the future now, but, you know, of the present. And you know, he wasn't just a platoon guy when he came back up. I mean, he was playing every day. And so I think this is exactly the scenario that fans kind of envisioned all along. It just might have taken a little longer than they expected.
Yeah, sometimes guys are late bloomers, and Olson certainly seems to fit that category. But as you said, it seems like he's going to be a major part of this young core, this young nucleus going forward for the A's in 2018 and beyond. Jane, want to get your opinion on something which I've always found kind of funny and quirky. I know that for so many years that Baltimore's Chris Davis was seen as, you know, one of the premier sluggers in the game, and he kind of still is, but it was the Chris Davis of the Oakland A's who for so many years was, quote-unquote, the other Chris Davis because of what Baltimore's Chris Davis was doing. I feel like now the roles have kind of switched a little bit because Oakland's Chris Davis puts together another 40 homer plus season. Do you feel that the roles have kind of switched where maybe the other Chris Davis is the guy in Baltimore now?
I mean, I hope so. I still think it's going to take maybe some better success in Oakland for this Chris Davis to get, you know, the attention he deserves. Just being on the West Coast, being on a team that's had three straight losing seasons, it's hard for guys to get noticed out here. You know, I think whenever you're in the big markets, you're playing in the AL East, you know, you're getting the primetime slots, you're always going to get that attention a little more easily. But I think, and I hope that people are starting to take notice of this Chris Davis, just because, I mean, 85 home runs in two seasons with Oakland. You know, I think him and Stanton basically were the only two kind of teetering together with the most home runs over that span. And I think people forget, too, that he's not only, you know, hitting home runs at this pace, but he's doing it, you know, with a home ballpark of the Coliseum, which is extremely pitcher-friendly. I mean, guys don't put up these type of numbers in the Coliseum. And so it's pretty remarkable that he's, you know, been able to maintain this consistency with his power. And I know he wants to become a, you know, more all-around hitter, but, I mean, you're going to take 40-plus homers, you know, any season. So I think, I mean, his power is just tremendous, his opposite field power. I mean, the type of home runs that he's hitting and just the power that he generates, it's really remarkable. And, you know, you do hope that along the way, you know, people are taking notice and even more so, you know, as he continues to do this.
Right. And like you said, you know, two consecutive seasons of at least 40 home runs, that's definitely going to be an attention grabber. If he does it again for a third straight year in 2018, I don't think he's going to fly under the radar for too much longer. And, Jane, as we come down the home stretch here, I want to get your take on one moment that wasn't a part of your list, but something that obviously gained a lot of attention this year, and that was the renaming of the field at the Coliseum to Ricky Henderson Field. You know, great ceremony. Ricky is always good for a quote. He's been a colorful character for a lot of years now, even in retirement. So kind of take us through that and what that was like, you know, that whole dedication, that ceremony, and Ricky's reaction to it.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty predictable. I mean, the way Ricky embraced the day, and obviously very cool to see. And I think it was just a reflection of the organization finally kind of, you know, embracing their celebrated history, embracing their past and the legends that have, you know, come across. I mean, this is a storied franchise with so many guys to celebrate. And it wasn't only, you know, Ricky Henderson Day and the renaming of the field, but you saw later in the season, you know, they named Gates after Dennis Eckersley.
Right.
Carney Lansford. I mean, it was just kind of a season-long celebration of all these guys and something that they hope to continue. And I think it was special for everyone. You know, you saw Ricky not only that day, but he came out probably, you know, every other homestand or so, just as a guest instructor, was around the clubhouse, was around the guys, and, you know, the young guys, obviously, I mean, any guy in there looks up to him, and just to have him around was pretty cool. So I think it's something special and something needed that the A's, you know, are embracing this and highlighting, you know, their past. And, you know, you saw it around the ballpark, more signage, just everything. I think there was a different feel this year, and I think, it, you know, everyone involved really appreciated it.
Yeah, the start of a good trend, hopefully, and I know that Ricky still wishes he could, you know, step in there and bat leadoff, but those days are behind him, and I'm sure he's happy in his role as an advisor and giving the young guys advice, and hopefully building towards the next great series of great A's teams out there in Oakland. Certainly time will tell. Jane Lee, great stuff as always. We thank you for the time. We'll do it again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Oakland A's.